Hi, this is Tanya Abreu, and I am delighted to serve as the President and National Program Director of the Spirit of Women Health Network. We are a consortium of America's leading hospitals, physicians, nurses, and other healthcare providers dedicated to advancing the cause of women's health and to transforming our fear of healthcare into a joy of healthful living. Today, we have a wonderful panel of guests that are going to share with us some quick and successful ideas on sticking to our New Year's resolution, or resolutions we make about our health and about our life at any time of the year. Our expert on this call podcast today is Michelle Seeger, and she is a wonderful resource, and she's going to share with us her work and also her website. So this is a quick podcast, and you can certainly go and interact with her more a bit later. But Michelle is currently a researcher at the Institute for Research on Women and Gender at the University of Michigan. She's a PhD in psychology and a master's degree in health behavior, health education, and in kinesiology from the University of Michigan. What's fascinating, and I've seen Michelle speak before, and we're delighted to have her here, is that she really can address the question of, my God, we all know what to do. We all know not to be fat. We all know not to smoke. We all know not to be in relationships that are bad for us. It's very difficult for us to stick to resolutions. It's very difficult for us to really make it work. So, Michelle, I'd love for you to open our call and our podcast today with some perspective on how to empower ourselves to transform our negative mindset when it comes to resolutions. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Tanya. I'm really excited to be here and share my perspective on these questions. You know, the issue is, you really led very well into the comment that I want to make, and this is one of the main predictors of success for New Year's resolutions. Are your resolutions going to reflect self-care and self-love, or are they going to reflect self-loathing and self-rejection? And ultimately, there's a bifurcation in the road, and you decide to go down one path or the other. From my research, I've learned, and from living in this culture, most women approach New Year's resolutions around their body weight and shape, and it's often coming out of a place of, I'm not good enough the way I am, and I need to change in this regard. While years of research on weight loss efforts suggest that approaching weight loss very directly in that way doesn't lead to success that can be sustained over time. So if women want to sustain their New Year's resolutions, I would ask them, and I ask them on my website and my current blog, to take a step back and really think through what it is you want to achieve and whether what you achieve is reinforcing who you are as a person or somehow belittling yourself.
What is your website, Michelle?
It's www.essentialsteps.com. One word, essentialsteps.net.
I think, you know, that's kind of a goosebump realization that you gave, and we're going to go right into talking to Lois Vogel from Chesterfield, Missouri in just a moment, but the main predictor of stickiness for your New Year's resolutions means that they need to come from self-love and from a positive place, rather from self-loathing and a negative place. Man, that's powerful advice, Michelle. Lois Vogel, tell me a little bit about your journey to your success and whether anything that Michelle just said hit a chord with you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think the reason for my success this time, I have been overweight since I was a small child, and it was a realization to quit being at war with myself,
mm-hmm.
and that I recognized the need for the change. I had the desire for good health and the determination that I wasn't going to drown in the family gene pool of diabetes and heart, you know, concerns. And I think that was truly the turning point for me. Is why have I you know, been so bad to myself. And it was finally that melding of mind, body, and spirit that really, this time, made it a success story.
That is wonderful to share. We also have Donna Roth from Colorado on the phone. And Donna grew up, like I did, in a smoking family, and she quit smoking. How long have you been smoke-free, Donna? And did anything that Michelle say ring home for you?
Hi, I wanted to say thank you for inviting me to be a part of the panel. And yes, actually, I quit smoking on April 1st, 2006, after many tries. You know, I think each time that you don't succeed, you know, it's natural to start feeling bad about yourself. And why can't I do this? And, you know, I'm never going to succeed. And so this time, you know, I looked at things a little differently. I went to a couple of websites that were very helpful and kind of looked at things differently.
Can you tell us those websites? We're all about being resourceful as women here.
Yes, yes, I'm excited to do that. QuitNet was one, and Quit Smoking Online was another. And Quit Smoking Online, I really liked that one because it was looking at how to change your way of thinking. Looking at, like, if you smoke a cigarette, is that really going to change the situation that you're in? Is that going to be cause, you know, stress to go away? And you know, kind of looking at, so, and QuickNet was wonderful because it's all about celebrating each step along the way. Very positive. And I think between the two of those, that's why I was successful.
Well, I love, you know, all three of you have mentioned the word positive. And I woke up thinking about that word this morning because in the holiday season, we always think, hey, this is a joyous time of year. But I bet most of the listeners to this podcast can really look back over the past couple of weeks and say, wow, where did some of that joy go? It was really overshot by lots of negatives and a lot of emotions that weren't always positive. If you were, and I'm going to go to you, Donna, if you were to give the millions of women in our country a couple of tidbits of advice on a permanent approach to quitting smoking, because you did say we always stop and fail, but hey, I think we do that with everything in life. And but what would be some of the things that you would tell these women from your own positive experiences to try to do?
Well, I would, you know, first of all, try to figure out what your triggers are, because we all have triggers, and try to develop a way to combat those triggers, and always, always positive reinforcement, always, because, you know, like I said, we need to celebrate each positive step along the way. And, you know, I've actually have support for a lot of staff members who are attempting to quit. And, they, you know, if they backslide, they feel very bad. And, I just said, you need to stick to it. And you know, you need to realize that this isn't something that, you know, one day you can just say, okay, I'm going to quit. And you're able to. It's something, an ongoing process. And I think that a lot of things that you learn along the way about yourself help you not only to quit smoking, but, you know, other things that come up throughout our lives. And I would think to keep busy, you know, and definitely just remember to not get into those situations that would lead you to be tempted to have a cigarette.
Do you have any personal triggers that you can share with our listeners?
My father got very ill in the hospital, and I had to go to Texas to authorize a trach and a feeding tube, and they didn't know that he was going to make it. And it was very stressful for me. It was a month after I quit. And the first thing that after I saw him in the hospital hooked up everything was natural instinct was to go and have a cigarette. And I went outside intending to do that, and I thought, you know, this isn't going to help anything. This is not going to help anything. It's not going to make my dad better. It's going to just make I have to, you know, I'll have to start the process over, and I've come so far and really thought back to the positive things that have happened in my life and the support that I had gotten and how far I had come. And I made the decision that I was not going to have a cigarette, and I really feel that was a turning point for me because I felt that stressful situation and I didn't have one. I felt a lot stronger, and it's actually helped me in other areas of my life.
Wow, that kind of self-discipline realized is
You know,
truly...
can I comment on something that she said?
Yes, please.
Yes.
This is Lois, yes?
Okay, yeah. What? This is Michelle. No, this is Michelle.
Oh, Michelle, I'm sorry.
That's okay. One of the things that Donna spoke about that I think is really relevant across behaviors is this increasing the awareness of yourself. Basically, we do a lot of things in life on autopilot without being cognizant on a daily basis of what we're doing and why we're doing them. And, you know, Donna spoke to the idea that as she gained more awareness about herself and her triggers, as well as having a supportive environment for her behavioral decision, she was more likely to be successful. And I can't emphasize enough, self-awareness is one of the pillars of the ability to change your behavior in ways that are sustainable. And sustainable is the holy grail. If it's not sustainable, you know, there's real little use in doing things. So I think that was really an important point to highlight. And another difference that I want to point out, actually, between something like a trigger for smoking versus a trigger for approaching a behavior like exercise or approaching weight loss, is that a trigger for smoking might be very situational. People you hang out with, places you go, but compare that with a trigger for deciding to exercise or deciding to change your eating habits. That's often a much broader trigger that has to do with society and culture. And so it's very important for women to identify, even in those situations, gee, it's New Year's, I better do this, while caution, that trigger could lead you to an approach that isn't mindful enough, that takes your own needs into account, or a trigger of, I have a bar mitzvah coming up, I have to fit into this particular dress. That's another type of trigger for behavior different than exercise. And all of these triggers need to be approached mindfully so you don't jump into an approach that's not sustainable.
That's wonderful perspective. I want to jump to one of the reasons why women say they maintain a terrible smoking habit, and that is weight control. Lois, you were heading down a path of pretty bad disease with diabetes and high cholesterol and potential heart disease, and you just accepted it. I have here in your notes that one morning your normal, which should be under 100 glucose read, was 398. Mm-hmm. We're talking a massive journey to illness that you took charge of. Which is really, really commendable. I know in my own personal journey it's not easy, and just to have stuck with it and have done so much in more than a decade of losing and maintaining a weight loss of over 80 pounds and getting your cholesterol down to perfection, which most doctors will say, hey, let's put you on meds or let's do this or let's do that. This is just a moment to celebrate you, Lois Vogel, and I think we all feel that way. I'd love your perspective, just like we got from Donna, on talking to really the tens of millions of women who hate their bodies, are worried about, and you so eloquently put it, drowning in the family gene pool. What gift can you give us post-holidays on sticking to our resolution to be healthier?
Well, I can certainly echo all of the same issues that Donna brought up about smoking, because I think that as we all have different issues about our body and body image. And again, for me, it had to be, and what Michelle made some very wonderful points about making it sustainable. I finally had to, the moment I quit making it about having to perhaps fit in a dress or make things short term, is when I could finally say it's about me. It's not about being able to look good for something else, or it was about my health. And I was actually listening to a tape from a gentleman, Wayne Dyer, and mm-hmm. he says on there, you can choose to make the time to be healthy, or you can choose to make time to be sick. And since then, that was like a turning point for me. It was sort of my mantra. It stuck with me that I saw my parents suffer from the ravages of diabetes. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to put my children through that. I wanted to be there for them and be supportive and have fun with someday, hopefully, grandchildren. I mean, this has been a lifelong journey for me. And it was always sort of that negative body image. It just wasn't a good experience in all the programs I have tried. This is something I did for me. This was something that it works because it is about self-respect. It is about being able to say, these are the things I want for my life, and not let anything, any timeline, interfere with that. You know, and that has made it, that has given me my the stick-to-itness that I needed to, you know, to keep going back to the gym, to, you know, take a look at a table of holiday delights and go, you know, it just, I can close my eyes and visualize how good that fresh cucumber or orange is going to be instead of something that's laden with fat and, you know, caloric intake. And maybe that day I don't have time to spend extra time in the gym. So, you know, and it's about choices. Life is about our choices. And there's just no excuse for a flabby lifestyle. And I really, I've internalized that and have complete peace with myself that I will never go back to being 90 pounds heavier.
Wow. Well, that's commendable. I'd like to wind us down because I know every listener has a whole lot of things to do in the new year, as well as caring for themselves. But, Michelle, we have talked a lot about the almost mind-body spiritual aspects and self-love and discipline and positivity. But I'd like to ask your opinion and your advice for those of us that need structure to start something and to approach something. What would that be? What would you say to me today who wants to lose 30 pounds or who wants to start a good exercise habit? What can I do for structure? What can the listeners do? Take charge of that resolution today.
You know, I'm going to give you an acronym that I have come up with to help women approach these behaviors in ways that are out of self-love and that they can sustain, and I think that will make it easier for the listeners to remember. So it's about taking a SMART approach to your behavior, S-M-A-R-T, and SMART stands for make sure you approach the behavior in a way that you can sustain over time. That means it can't be based on instant results. Make sure that when you want to lose weight, for example, you do things in a sequential manner. Don't learn to exercise and change your dietary intake at the same time. How on earth can you do both of those things in ways that you will sustain for the rest of your life? The M part of SMART is my self-care. Your behavior, your resolutions need to be grounded in the fact that you want to take care of yourself. No one else is going to do it, and there's no reason why you're not worth the time and energy to do the things you need to do to nurture yourself so you can feel good in life and enjoy it with as much energy and joy as possible. The third letter is A, achievable. This is the key. This is really the logistical part of my recommendation. Start very small. People say set achievable goals, and it's almost passe. But I want to suggest to you that you set goals as if you were in kindergarten and starting from scratch. Make goals about 1 and 2 minutes of physical activity a day and try and sustain them. And here's a really great soundbite for you, Tanya.
Okay.
Consistency first. Then quantity. If you can't sustain smaller levels of physical activity, it doesn't matter how much you do. So learn the skills on smaller amounts, and as you learn to do things and you learn what's getting in your way and you learn the strategies to overcome those things, then start to increase incrementally. The R is reject. It's reject quick fixes and unrealistic goals. Women are smart. They know what hasn't worked for them. Let's take a new approach. Let's stop rejecting ourselves. And finally, tailored. What you decide to do has to be tailored to fit into your life, who you are, what your likes are, what your context can contain. So really think about what your current life context is when you're making all those goals.
My goodness, Michelle. And listeners and myself can go on to www.essentialsteps.com.
It's www.essentialsteps.net.
Essentialsteps.net to learn more about what SMART means and sticking to your resolutions. Well, I hope that everyone who has been touched by Michelle's and Donna's and Lois's words today have learned a couple of things or has been able to embrace a couple of things. This whole idea of sticking to your resolutions based on self-awareness, based on self-love, the mindfulness, the positivity. And one of the things that I had never thought of before talking to you today is this idea of sustainability versus perfection. How many of us have woke up in the morning and said, this is going to be the day that I am perfect, and then when you're not perfect, who cares for the next month? And I think this idea of just something small to sustain, those baby steps, is a structure that really can be stuck with. Michelle Seeger, a researcher at the Institute for Research on Women and Gender, can be contacted on essentialsteps.net. And Donna Roth and Lois Vogel, much, much success in your future and health and spreading the word and the success of your commitments to make your lives much more vibrant and much more healthy for your families, for your children, and today for us. So thank you, everyone, and have a great year full of stuck-to resolutions and lots of joy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.